Thank you. I'll take it from here. So, thank you, Dave. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and rise with me, and we will read to the scripture for today. It is Matthew chapter 13. It's going to be verses 33 through 35. Matthew chapter 13, verses 33 through 35. And another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Lord God, we thank you for this parable. It's so short and so pregnant with meaning, so packed. We ask you, God, to reveal it to us and give us something today that just feels concrete that we can apply to our lives this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks. Have a seat. By the way, every time I see images of these little babies, I think of parents. I just want to honor every parent in this room. God bless you. Do you remember raising those children and the sleepless nights? Do you remember wiping noses and backsides and going to the doctor and getting in medicine for your children and skinned knees and broken arms? You know, you're a hero. You're a hero if you've had children. And if you are standing in for someone else as a step parent, God bless you. You're a hero too. Our need for parents does not disappear because one of them dies or somebody gets divorced. There's all kinds of reasons you may be a step parent. God bless you. Thanks for standing in. Thanks for stepping up. So this morning, we're talking about leaven. It might not surprise you to hear that this is a subject about which I'm not extremely knowledgeable. I'm not much of a chef or someone in the kitchen. I know my way around. I know how to do a few things, but I am going to try to be a chef this morning. Does that look jaunty? Very good. So this week, I asked my wife, Ruth, hey, what's all this about leaven and about bread rising and falling and unleavened bread and so on? What's all this? How does this work? And so I asked her to take me through this adventure in the kitchen. And the first thing that she had me do was to make some starter. And it's an amazing thing, this leaven. Leaven is just yeast. And you know where yeast is? Do you know where you have to go to find yeast? Anywhere on planet Earth, yeast is there. It's on the seaside. It's in the mountains. It's on every grape that was ever produced. That's why if you crush grapes, you don't have to do anything to it to turn it into wine. The skins of the grapes are already coated with yeast, and the inside of the grape is filled with sugar, and so you have everything that you need right there just to mash up some grapes, put them in a clay pot, set them aside, and within 10 or 15 minutes, you have the beginning of wine. So you can't crush grapes and drink grape juice the next day. You're already drinking wine or perhaps vinegar if it doesn't go so well for you. So I made some starter. Whew. And here's something I learned about making starter. You don't do it in 20 minutes. This is leaven. This is something where, have you ever seen those movies where the the native people or maybe cavemen or something on these films, they carry fire with them in a little bundle, and there's an ember, a spark that's in there, and somebody is the fire carrier for the tribe. And wherever the tribe wanders and travels, somebody has that little ember, and they can blow it into a flame. Well, that's what leaven is like. That's a starter that you put in a clay pot, a jar, set it aside, and you can always then use it to start some new bread. And so I did. And I made some bread. And you may be surprised to hear that every time that a bread recipe is given or a command is made to make some bread in the Bible, whoever says it says, and make it out of 3 measures of flour. Do you know how much 3 measures of flour is? It's 4 gallons of flour. This is a 1 gallon pitcher here. I'm not going to make 4 gallons of dough here this morning. But it is interesting to see that this is modern flour. This is bleached. It's much finer, or this is unbleached, but it's fine flour. It's much finer than, say, you thought I would carefully measure that out, didn't you? It's much finer than what they would have had. Here's 1 cup of flour. The sacrificial bread that was made for God as showbread that was put before the Lord was leavened bread. It had leaven in it. It was made from 19 cups of flour like this. 19. That's one big bodacious loaf of bread. And you just take flour, you add water, mix it up. I am simplifying. Your tongue has to be appropriately placed. Little bit of leaven. How much? How much? A little. How little? If I just poured 4 gallons of flour in here, this will leaven the whole thing. The whole thing. Can you imagine? There's so many metaphors, so many analogies that go with this. Human life, it starts out this big. This big, and it grows and grows and grows. How about your faith? It starts out this big and climbs a wall of doubt and becomes something completely permeated and large. Now, what's necessary now would be for me to mix this together. It says in the parable, the woman took a bit of leaven and put it in the lump. That would be the lump of dough. Now, there's nothing more to describe it than that. But I'm just doing about 3 pounds here. I should have about 8 times that amount of flour. And so that's a real job. You put it in there, fold it in, put it in a dark, kind of a moist place, put a towel over it, a cheesecloth equivalent. Set it aside, come back later, mush it, mash it, set it aside, come back later, mush it, mash it, set it aside. Sometimes, this is my favorite part, sometimes you get to punch it down and it comes out and you set it out maybe for several hours or overnight, depends on your weather, depends on your flour, depends on your yeast, depends on humidity, a lot of things, and it rises and then you bake it. But it does all this magical work in secret. You can't see the beginning of this growth. I get some indicators here, some bubbles, a little bit of foam in this kind of liquid starter, this sourdough starter. But the wife sets it aside. She covers it. And then it does its magic. It does its thing when you're not touching it. It happens in a place that you cannot see. That's like the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like that. And then you make bread. So I asked my wife, what kind of bread would they have made? She said, well, it wouldn't look like today, because I believe they didn't use loaf pans. They would take a lump and maybe put it on a stone and bake it, and then whatever puffiness is in there determines how high it goes or not. So we did some. Here's a very small amount of dough, and this is leavened bread. It didn't rise too much, and there's probably several reasons for that. Maybe our flour was a little older, but it looks more like a pancake, doesn't it? But you can rip it, and there's puffiness in there, and bubbles, and you can see little air holes. And this would be like what leavened bread would look like. Now, there's at least twice in Scripture where the Lord says words to the effect of, bring this leavened bread to me and sacrifice it to me. Now, a lot of us maybe grew up with the thought, leaven, wherever you see leaven in the Bible, it always means sin every time. Maybe you heard a sermon on beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Maybe you heard about the leaven of sin, the leaven of wickedness. Leaven in itself is not a problem. Leaven is never intended ever in the Bible to be the evil. Leaven represents what the evil does. So, for example, if I had a knife here, a sharp knife, I always have a knife. Okay. Is this a good knife or an evil knife? Depends what you do with it, right? Depends how you employ it. Depends what you do with it. It's just a knife. So if I'm cutting cheese or pears or apples with it, or maybe carving, whittling something down, it's doing good. If I'm doing something sinister with a knife, then the knife is doing something bad. But it's the operator behind the knife that makes the knife or the other object good or evil. It's a neutral thing. Same thing with yeast. Yeast isn't sinful. It doesn't represent sin. So we go to the Scriptures, and we see here, verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, if leaven represented sin, that would be saying the kingdom of heaven is like sin. It's not like sin. So what is it about leaven? So we talked about the leaven and what the leaven does. The leaven goes throughout all the dough, and it makes all the dough puff up. It permeates through the dough everywhere, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened, all 3 measures, all 4 gallons of flour by that little tablespoon of leaven. It's permeated through the whole thing. Now, how can that be like the kingdom of God? What does that represent? We've seen that leaven could represent if it's about evil, then the teaching would be that the church, if the church is the dough, and I've heard this teaching before, if the church is the dough and leaven is sin, then sin will permeate the church until the end of the age, and the church will be full of sin. And you just have to put up with it because it's just the price of doing business in a fallen world. Maybe you've heard a teaching like that. But this scripture is saying that the kingdom is like leaven. So it can't be about evil. So what happens? Leaven permeates. And that's all that leaven, that's all that the concept, when you see leaven as a concept, that's all it means in Scripture. It means something that permeates and goes all throughout. Here's what happens when you don't use leaven. This is kind of leathery. This is unleavened bread. if I had set it out for a little longer, it would be more like a cracker and it would snap. Hard pretzels, I believe, are unleavened. Maybe you've had Armenian cracker bread, some kind of flatbread or cracker bread that was unleavened. Not very appetizing. It's more like shoe leather almost in texture here. You got to kind of chew it and gnaw it. This is very pleasurable to eat. If you ever go to a restaurant and they bring out this basket of just this, they're still warm, these rolls, maybe with some honey butter on the side. Oh, nothing better. It's so good. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Leaven can be for good or for evil. Now, Paul talked about leaven in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and you have not rather mourned that he has done this deed, he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Paul is advocating to remove the one who has done this deed from the church. He says, "For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh." So that person is to be put out of the church and to be then in the hands of God for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now he goes into talk about leaven, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, that is the lump of dough? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I'm going to skip back to the book of Exodus and just mention that there was a feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Exodus chapter 12, where the Lord commanded them in this way. He said, "So this shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast throughout your to the Lord throughout your generations." This is before they were led out of Egypt. They're still in Egypt. "You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." And then he's going to lead Israel out of Egypt, and they're going to take their mixing bowls on their backs, kind of bound up in their shawls, and they're going to leave Egypt without any leaven at all. Why is that? And then, where would you get new leaven? That was my first question, is, boy, if you get rid of all the old leaven, where are you going to find new leaven? The answer is everywhere. It's everywhere. So the Lord was saying to them, look, beware the leaven of Egypt, the gods of Egypt. Purge all that from your lives and create a faith life and a faith community completely empty of all the influences of the culture from whence you came. Take out the cultural influences from your faith. Those things, everything which goes contrary to God's will, everything that goes contrary to Scripture, should not be a part of our faith life at all. And so, our commercial environment. It's great to have a commercial environment. It's great to have marketplaces and maybe advertisements and buy my product and buy your product. But when it becomes something that becomes a driver of how we behave in our faith life, that needs to be purged out of our faith life. It's great to have an education system and to have teachers and professors and universities and all. But when they go against the Word of God and are trying to persuade you, your children, or your grandchildren away from the truth of Scripture, this must be purged out of our faith life. It has no place in our faith life. It's great to have a political system. We need people to govern our nation. But when they go contrary to Scripture, then we need to not bring that into our faith life and say things like, for example, this issue, this one right here, on the sanctity of human life. This is a political issue. The church can't touch it. God has no opinion on this. You can't talk about this. Oh, no. We start with the Lord made human life. The Lord wants us to preserve, protect, and uphold the value, the sanctity of human life. Every person is made in the image of God. That's where we get our dignity from. This faith, this religion that we have, Christianity, which springs from the pool of Judaism. We have this thing common among us that the dignity of man comes not because a government gives it to us or because people vote to give other people dignity or protection. It comes from God. Our ethic of dignity of man comes from the fact that everyone of every faith, by the way, of every persuasion, they're all created in the likeness and image of God. Now, they may have a different religious view than me. They may have a different political view than me. They may have a different commercial view than me. They may be a different nationality than me. But it's my job to protect them, to protect their life, to uphold them, and to treat them with dignity and respect as another human being created in the likeness and image of God. And so we want our lives, our faith life, to start off as unleavened bread. But then as we go on, let us take the leaven of Christ. And after we have purged all the old leaven of Egypt from our lives, take the leaven of Christ. Let it permeate and leaven your entire lump, every nook and corner and cranny of your life. This verse is probably more directly speaking to the idea that the entire world is the lump of dough, and that the leaven is the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it is the kingdom of God. And it is the kingdom of God as expressed through and as advocated by his church. But the church is not the leaven. The leaven is bigger than the church. The kingdom of God is not the church. The church is contained in the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is bigger than just the church. We need to see what God is doing and get on that train and follow that. And then the leaven of the kingdom will permeate eventually into the entire world. And then when you get into the book of Revelation and understand what happens, that the gospel is made known throughout every corner of the world, and that eventually the entire planet is faced with the truth of the gospel, and then Jesus Christ will actually have a millennial reign here on earth, where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and then people will be permeated by the kingdom, by the Holy Spirit, and Christ will rule the earth with the rod of iron for 1,000 years. That's a picture of what it looks like to have complete leavening of the dough. Complete leavening. For a while then, Satan must be released, and there will be a great battle. Satan will be defeated, cast into the lake of fire, says the book of Revelations, sealed over along with the beast, the false prophet. And then that's the end of this age. And there will then come a new earth and a new heaven. But first, the leaven will permeate the entire lump of dough. This parable takes place on two levels. It takes place on a personal level, your life. Let the leaven of God permeate every aspect of your life. And it happens on a worldwide level, not even a national level, but a worldwide level. That the leaven of the kingdom will permeate the entire planet. So what do we need to do to make this real and true in our lives? Jesus was faced one time with a question from a rich young ruler. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a young man of privilege who ruled in the temple or the synagogue. We don't know which. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Honor your father and mother. He said, "All these things I've done from my youth," Jesus said. There is one more thing. There's one more thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Now, is that an admonition to every single person to sell everything you have and give all to the poor and then come follow Jesus? No. It was in that case and that case only and never repeated ever again anywhere in Scripture. Nobody else was told to sell everything they have, give it to the poor, and come follow Jesus. Just that guy. Why? Why him? Because Jesus saw in him that was the one thing he was withholding from Jesus. That was the one thing he was holding back. He would not let the leaven of the kingdom go into that piece of his lump of dough. He only wanted to permeate 4/5 of his dough. Now I'm starting to get lost in this parable here. But you get the idea. What is that one thing for you and for me that we hold back? Jesus wants this leaven to be able to go there. You can't buy the kingdom of heaven, but it will cost you everything. Jesus' grace is not cheap. It is free. But it costs everything you have. That's a real, it seems like an incongruency, doesn't it? It's kind of a mystery. You can't buy it, but it will cost you everything. What are you holding back? What am I holding back? Is there someone I hate? Jesus wants me to go make peace with that person. Is there somebody I've wronged? Jesus wants me to go make peace with that person. Is there some secret sin in my life or your life? Nobody sees. Jesus wants that made right. That one thing. That is your wealth that he wants you to sell and give it all to the poor. That thing. I have no idea what that is in your life, and I'm not going to tell you what that is in my life. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. May the kingdom of God, may the kingdom of heaven be like leaven in your life and mine. May we be used by God to bring the leaven of the kingdom into the entire world. This is such a simple parable. That's all it means. Let it grow. Let it grow. I'm going to ask our praise team to come up and